Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, it is the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Who wants a mustache ride?
Hey now!
Big power hour filled with NBA, NFL, and a big night in Major League Baseball coming your way. And let's kick things off here with a trade that we could see very soon. John McClain of the Houston Chronicle reports today that this week, the Dolphins and Texans could have a Deshaun Watson trade done. Now, this has been rumored for a long time. We have heard that the Dolphins are interested. We've heard that the Eagles were interested. And now we're getting that, hey, this could happen in the next few days. The offshoot of this is that, according to some reports, that this could wind up being a three-team trade in which the Texans send Deshaun Watson to the Miami Dolphins, the Dolphins send Tua Tagovailoa to the Washington football team, and the Texans get some kind of trade capital or draft pick from both the Dolphins and Washington. Because clearly, look, the Dolphins don't want to give up a whole bunch of stuff for Deshaun Watson, not knowing if he's going to play. It's a bad enough optic as well. They want to trade for him. So this is what it could wind up being, right? So let's deal with the Deshaun Watson angle of this first. I feel dirty that we're even talking about it. You know, I mean, this is a guy that still has 22 sexual assault cases that are following him around that we don't know the outcome. Is he innocent? Is he not? If he's innocent and he figures out a way to play, okay, you could trade him. If he's not, boy, how bad do the Dolphins look that, yes, we're okay with trading for a guy that has this kind of present right now. We don't know what the future is, but his present is 22 cases filed against him for sexual misconduct in some way, shape, or form. And still the Dolphins are saying, yeah, we're okay with making a trade for this guy. It's embarrassing for the NFL. They couldn't find a way to make Deshaun Watson a persona non grata for a little while because it's what you kind of have to do, quite frankly. Major League Baseball did it with Trevor Bauer. It's how you do it. You sit him down. You put him on the exempt list. There's all kinds of things to do, but the NFL didn't want to get involved, so they allowed the Texans to sit him without having to really suspend. It's just been awful that football couldn't take a stand and go, dude, While you are undergoing this, you can't really play. And it's even worse that the Dolphins potentially are saying, yes, we're okay with getting you. We get more and more morally bankrupt in our country as the days go on. And this is the sports example of it, that, yes, he could wind up being exonerated. If he does, great, then you could trade for him. I get that's how the world works. Many people would be upset. The guy's going to continue his career. This is kind of how it goes. We've seen it many times. But if he's not, he's obviously not going to play. The fact that you're okay with trading for him now with all this going on, I mean, what does that say? I just feel dirty talking about it. And if you're the Dolphins, I can't believe that you're walking around with your head held up going, yeah, we're excited to make this trade to go get Deshaun Watson. Really, what's going on? No, it's 22 women, and still it's okay for them to do this.
Yeah, I mean, some reporters have refuted McClain's claims, saying that it's a no further off in coming to fruition than it was a few weeks ago. That aside, the idea is you've got a guy that until he's proven guilty, and at this point we're not even talking criminal charges, right? We're still in the investigatory part. He hasn't been deposed and won't for a while, if he is at all. So it goes to a larger point in society and right or wrong, should you be allowed to continue your work if you have a case or multiple cases or a plethora of cases, as we're seeing here, in process, but to no end and with no end in sight, right? Should your career, should your opportunities automatically cease, given the presumption of innocence until guilt is proven. So to that end, for the Dolphins, you're trying to figure out how to make your team better. You may like Tua. We'll get to Tua in a moment. But you've got a guy in Deshaun Watson that, in theory, you're looking at it kicking the tires that maybe you get a bit of a distressed property, right? The player himself, as a football player, there's nothing precluding him from being a top five quarterback once again, right? Led the league in passing yardage, even though Trader Bill tried to do everything he could to sabotage the squad around him, right? And we watched all of those moves made in Houston before all this came to bear and before Deshaun Watson signed his deal and before he then said he didn't want to play there anymore, which all came down in really rapid succession when it's all said and done. But you know, for the Dolphins, and I get it, it's the dirty part of I guess the sports side. I don't know how much you apply it to other walks of life and, you know, terminations and things of that when cases are in the investigatory process versus actual charges versus actual conviction, right? All those different parts of things. Because we go back, you know, to the infamous time of Kobe Bryant having a deal where he could go play, right? And he had to be back in court and all of those kind of things while he was facing some really serious charges. So, you know, we've seen it done before and superstar rules, etc. And I know it may be unsavory, but for the Dolphins, they're trying to figure out how to make their team better. And it seems, at least on the surface, they're willing to take the risk, whether it's through their own investigation, beliefs, or just a wing and a prayer, that he'll be available to them. And if not, then yes, obviously it becomes a terrible move. But I'm wondering if there aren't certain circumstances whereby in the trade discussions, you come up with some kind of secondary compensation or negation of parts of a deal should he be found guilty of any of these allegations.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So there's the Deshaun Watson part of this, right? Now here's the Tua part of this, all right? The fact that the Dolphins are okay with trading for a guy with 22 sexual assault cases hanging over him tells you all you need to know about your status with the team, right? I mean, really, it's been enough at this point. For whatever reason, the decision-making powers of the Dolphins want to move on from Tua Tagovailoa, which, all right, I disagree. They never really gave him a chance. This is not a guy who had a whole season like Josh Rosen and was terrible. It didn't work. Tua's had glimpses. He had a big game last week. He has shown you that, hey, I can potentially do this, but clearly he doesn't have the power of the organization behind him. So you know what I do if I'm Tua right now? I go in and I say, you know what? Enough is enough. Right? It's clear you don't want me to be your quarterback. You couldn't even publicly say that I was your quarterback before the season. Coach Flores had to come in and behind closed doors tell everybody that Tua is our guy. Didn't do it publicly. You don't want me, and I get it. But you know what you're going to do now? You're going to do the right thing. I'm not going to play for you anymore. And it's not because I don't want to play and I'm doing a hissy fit. I'm not playing because I don't want to get hurt and then you can't trade me or I can't go to my new team and with the starting job. Clearly my future's not here and I'm not going to play for you and get hurt. So you know what you're going to do? I'm going to sit home, you're going to pay me, and then you're going to trade me by the deadline the end of next week. And that's how this is going to go. And anything else, you're going to look awful. And anybody who's a free agent, I'm going to make sure they know exactly how you treat players here, because already you're going to struggle because people are going to see that are going to be free agents. They're going to say, boy, look, and Tua was a guy they took at the top of the draft and look what they did to him after just 2 years. Yeah, I don't know if I want to go play in Miami. So you're going to treat me right. I'm going to sit home. I'm going to stay healthy. And then my next down of football is going to be for my new team. That's what I do if I'm Tua. And I do that tomorrow.
Love the idea of a big, bold move like that.
That's a baller move right there, man. That's
I don't know how to do it. That's also setting yourself up as the villain, but perhaps in this case, given the trade discussions at hand, maybe you'd have enough scribes and pundits locally and nationally that gives you a little bit of juice to making such a determination. You know, I think it comes down to, for me, from a football perspective, watching Tua through his first starts here, that you've got a guy who can make some plays, right? You got a guy with a pretty good arm. He's getting healthy, right? The hip injury is further in the rear view mirror. Not exactly the roster that they anticipated. And I think that's the hard part is we always have to have a fall guy, and I don't know if they're ready to do anything with Brian Flores or any members of that staff, but, you know, Tua is the guy that ends up taking it on the chin when it's like, oh, look how horribly they got beaten. Well, before the season, we talked to all 53s, and how many people put that are, like, really into the scouting side of things, put Miami in the top 5 or 7? It was a lot of them. Right. You know, for the purpose of the show, we'll have our research staff figure that out and put it out. But, you know, that's what you heard all the time. Look at, they're ready. The running game is pedestrian at best. Miles Gaskin and Malcolm Brown, etc. They're not anything that to write home about. The receiving core, most of your principals have been hurt for at least some portion of the season. You got Gesicki, the tight end, but and now Jalen Waddle starts to emerge. A couple of touchdowns in the London game against Jacksonville, a tough loss, but Tua threw the ball well, showed some good arm strength, had some good decision making. And so, unfortunately, he becomes the guy that gets measured that way. So I don't know that it's necessarily we don't want him, but we, in the context of, wait, we can get Deshaun Watson? Right, we can get Watson. Like, it's draft day. It's Kevin Costner trying to look at what he's got on the board and how he can move chess pieces. It's like we still haven't, and you got Frank Langella in his ear and Dennis Leary in his ear and all of that. See, I love that movie, so we got to get it in here. And so you're trying to figure it out, but you might have a better opportunity. And yes, Deshaun Watson comes with so much baggage in what is currently swirling about. But again, if we're comparing quarterbacks, is Tua ever going to be a top 5 to 7 guy? Maybe, but the percentages are probably a lot lower than Deshaun Watson stepping back into another offense and reclaiming that role as he had before. So I think if you're Miami, part of it is, all right, now we have a roster that's okay and maybe a little bit better than average, but if we can go out and get the elite quarterback, as much as we may love Tua, we can move on from it.
I like how you said, as much as we may love him. No, they don't love him at all.
Again, it's all in the context of what you can do, right? Growing up, for, you know, in your high school days, maybe your college days, hell, maybe these days, you've got, you know, hey, we're going to go hang out. But then you've got the one friend that always is looking for the better deal. Right, so it's like we're gonna go have a basic dinner, and then we're gonna go see a crappy rom-com. You in, and then maybe we'll go have a drink or two. Okay, cool. Hey, someone just offered me a ticket to a concert over at Staples. All right, hanging out with me and going to see a crappy rom-com suddenly isn't so interesting now, is it? I think that's the same thing we got here when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. We kind of like Tua. He's our nice, steady, stable meal and movie and night out. And then we go to a karaoke bar. Maybe we sing, you know, some Motley Crue song, or I bust out some, you know, Freddie Mercury rendition, and that's all fine and good, as opposed to going to see Queen with Adam Lambert at Staples. You're going to one-up it, and that would be Deshaun Watson in this case. Again, no allegations still hanging over your head, and obviously no missed time beyond the 4 to 6 games that one would expect based on the personal conduct policy as it currently stands.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Carmody. I am not going to play for you again, and that's the right thing to do.
I love that.
Baller move, man. Outstanding.
It would go totally against everything we've ever seen from Tua. That's it. I'm done. I'm taking my ball, and I'm going home. I'm Ben Simmons.
Hey, speaking of Ben Simmons, just because he didn't play tonight doesn't mean there wasn't fresh, brand new Ben Simmons drama. We got that and a big couple of games in the NBA straight ahead. This is Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oral greatness.
Night two of the NBA season. And look, I really say night two, but it's really opening month. It's not about opening night anymore. It's opening night is a month long because we get so many great games,
yeah,
so many great matchups. You can't really say it's opening night. Yeah, we got two games opening night. We got more games tonight. We got more games tomorrow. Every single night for the first month of the NBA season is opening night. And clearly, there was nothing bigger tonight than the Knicks beating the Celtics in double overtime. I mean, that really was the only highlight you need. Here come the Knicks, and I'm going to love how good the Knicks are going to be this year, and all the haters are going to have to go, but, oh, I didn't think Fournier was going to be this good. Oh, I didn't think Kemba Walker was good. Oh, I didn't think. Yeah, everybody's going to have to suck it because the Knicks are going to be good because all they did very simply was fix what their number one flaw was. They needed to score more points. So they signed Fournier and Kemba Walker. What do these guys do? They score. They scored 138 tonight, right? But the Heat can sign all new players, and every expert says, oh, I like the Heat. They're going to be really good. The Bulls sign new players, and now they're deeper, and they're better than they've been in a while. Zach LaVine said tonight after the game, this ain't last year, and I like the Bulls this year. All the Bulls are going to be good. But the Knicks signed two new players, and they're deeper. Nah, the Knicks are overrated. That were a fluke last year. Just because I don't want to keep hearing about the Knicks. Knicks, the same thing. The Knicks and the Lakers get all kinds of hate just because people in the media and experts and pundits are sick of hearing about them. I don't care. I hate the Westbrook move because I hate hearing about the Lakers, so I'm going to say it's going to stink. And the same thing with the Knicks. I hate hearing about the Knicks, so I'm going to say they're going to stink. It happens. You think that people in the media would have a little bit more respect for themselves, but it's okay, Mike Harmon. I'm going to sit and watch as they get out to a 10-0 record, and then we're talking about, can they win 70 games? Can they win 75 games? Can they win 78 games? Are they a team that may be the best team in the history of the NBA? I will be okay sitting back while that's happening.
Certainly a team that should at least hold serve on its tied for fourth standing in the Eastern Conference a year ago, 41-31, eight games back of your Philadelphia 76ers. But chaos and comeuppances are there. We'll see how the Ben Simmons saga ends. We'll see how the Kyrie Irving drama ends. See, there's the two top teams in the East that still have very large unresolved issues, both still pretty quality teams when you get down to it, but you're still going to be chasing Milwaukee, number three a year ago, and Giannis getting better, still working on his game. You might get tired of him talking about being humble and working whatever, but the proof is on the court that's his reality, right? And so folks can call him disingenuous, all those things, because we've heard it with so many other athletes that just say, I want to go to work and leave me alone. And he's the latest, 46-26. They shuffled up some of their supporting cast, so remains to be seen if they hold to the same level, but you do have that A-list player that should be able to carry you. Atlanta, Miami, I'm not going to do your whole different voices depending on which team I'm talking about, but you've got a lot of chaos. I like the Celtics, assuming that they stay healthy. Remember losing Jaylen Brown last year. Now you've got the dynamic duo, and look, Jason Tatum is not going to shoot 7 of 30. Tom Thibodeau is not going to be out there coaching all these defenses to frustrate him to a 7 for 30 night like he did tonight for your beloved Knicks. And the Bulls are fun and interesting, and they're different and should be better. But how much better are they? Does that just mean they're no longer in the outside of the top 10 in the East, or does that make them a legit contender? I don't quite buy that the latter is true, but they'll be fun to watch along the way. So, yeah, why not open the door for your Knicks to at least be competitive beyond a first round of car vandalism and hanging out outside Madison Square Garden? Good for you. You finally made it after 20 years.
Go right, New
the
York,
Knicks
go
in
New
99,
York,
and now the Braves on the cusp of a World Series appearance, their first since 1999. I mean, it's a whole new world order. We're going back to, and we're going to party like it's 1999. How cheesy is that?
Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Go, New York. Go, New York. Go. Go, New York. Oh, it's so exciting. Everybody's
so
going to just have to eat it. How good the Knicks are going to be.
You got to like the roster, though.
Yes,
of course.
Fournier
comes in, scores 30-plus, and you've got R.J. Barrett, who's going to continue to get better. Derrick Rose still hanging out. You got Julius Randle, who was your MVP for so long.
The 2021-2022 MVP, Julius Randle.
Are you going to put money down on him? What are his odds?
Well, I think the odds right now, him and Fournier are the co-favorites.
Oh,
after
come
tonight.
On.
Yes,
come
after
on.
All those threes, Fournier hit it.
No,
give me the ball. Give me the ball. That's the difference in the team.
He certainly did find the stroke. Yeah, no, they do.
Had nobody could do that last year. And Fournier said, give me the ball. I'm going to shoot early in the shot clock. Wait. Oh, wow, he hits threes. Yeah, this is the huge difference now. Look,
dude, 80-1.
Dude, oh, man, yes.
80-1, go get some.
Go New York. Now,
I mean, LeBron's 16-1, dude.
Yeah, but that's okay. Yeah, but 16 is like, 16. Come on, 80-1 I like. But look, the Knicks weren't the only team with a big win tonight. Amid all this drama, the Sixers win over New Orleans.
Yep.
No Ben Simmons, obviously. No Zion Williamson for the Pelicans. So there you go. There's your result. But Doc Rivers continues to jump on the, feel bad for us, saying today that the Ben Simmons drama has kind of muted the fun for the Sixers right now. The fun is muted. Oh, I'm sorry. I was on mute in the Zoom call. Sorry. I had my phone on mute. It's muted now. You know what? First of all, my God, just trade the guy. Just trade him at this point. He's never going to play for you again. You suspended him. You fined him. You sent him home. He's not going to play. He didn't want to play when he showed up. He's not going to play for you again. So stop with it's hanging over us. You sit him at home until he's traded, right? You could have done this so long ago because it was clear he didn't want to play there, but you couldn't step up and act like a big boy franchise. You acted like a small market franchise as if you were afraid that if we trade a star and we don't get a star back, that's going to look bad for us. You know what? Ben Simmons is not a star. He's a guy that would be good on a team if he was the fourth best player, right? He does some things really well. He can help a team, but he is just that guy. He is a fourth best player on a good team. And you think he's great? Oh, we don't know. We didn't like all the offers we got in the offseason. Yeah, because you know why? Ben Simmons is limited because he won't shoot. He won't do things. You want to get rid of him because he's not good in a playoff game. He disappears in the fourth quarter. He won't shoot the basketball. Tell me a basketball star that handles the ball but doesn't like to shoot it. That's Ben Simmons. So yes, his value is less around the league. Joel Embiid doesn't want to talk about the guy anymore. He doesn't want him around. And here the Sixers are walking around playing the victim. Oh, can you believe this? No, it's your fault you're in this situation. You could have traded him months ago, and you didn't. This is why I would be a great GM. I could have Ben Simmons traded in a day. In a day. Could have started at 9. He would have been traded by 5. I would have had draft picks. I would have had money. I would have had players that I could plug in that could be part of a rotation. If I couldn't get a star player, I could have done all of these things. And the Sixers are walking around like they are a small market team afraid to disenfranchise a star because you think you might not get the right guy back. He's never going to play for you again. The Sixers clearly don't know which way is up. I could have taken care of this months ago, Mike Harmon. Months ago, I could have done this.
Yeah, I think we've now kind of gotten this, and I've used the distressed property. How about we go to the stock market proper here? This is like investing in something. I don't know. Pick one of the gambling stocks, thinking you're going to make some money on it because it's a burgeoning microeconomy and legalization is coming through and all these innovations. So, hey, more players, more money, and the stock's going to go up. And well, now you've lost your ass. But, you know, you decided, hey, let's ride it out a little bit more. And I think that's kind of what we're at with Ben Simmons, is that you had a player who had value and great defensive player all around. There's a lot of things to like about what Ben Simmons brings to the table. The unwillingness to learn and trust taking a jump shot and becoming moderate threat, not even having to be good, just a moderate threat. And then obviously the sinking free throw percentage, you know, those things are, well, detriments to the overall package that you're trying to do if people are going to invest, i.e. make you a big trade offer. And now it's gotten even worse by sweatpants, disinterest, and he doesn't want to participate in defensive work. That's his bread and butter, man. That's his bread and butter. That's a, hey, you're giving me something I like, right? It's getting the kid to eat something on his plate by giving him a piece of chocolate. It's all the good stuff, man. This is what you love and excel at. Come on, hang out with. And he still says, beat it. And drops I'll the ball and leaves. So, like, now you're at a point where, you know, all the cockamamie salary match looks like a fantasy football roster. All right, you got five guys. Three of these guys are getting waived immediately upon arrival. And then we'll, you know, it was a good run. We'll do the photo op so they can, you know, have a picture of them in the jersey they'll never get to wear. And then Ben Simmons goes away. So I think now it's the hold that there's one more piece of information, one more earnings report, one more state goes legalized in the gambling analogy that I set up. That means that after 15 to 20 games, there are potential suitors for Ben Simmons because also ran suddenly think they may have a chance to fight in either conference. And suddenly, Ben Simmons has a market better than what is available right now. In the interim, we'll get some audio gold from both Doc Rivers as he fumbles with it and Joel Embiid, who takes the Morgan Freeman Shawshank Redemption method of saying, frankly, Sonny, I don't give up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I told you last night after the Lakers' debut, I wasn't worried. As long as the Lakers are going to let Russell Westbrook be Russell Westbrook, everything is fine. And by that, I mean being the ball-dominant point guard that he has been throughout his NBA career. And then I heard LeBron say after the game that, oh, you know, he was a little nervous, his debut. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then Frank Vogel said this, which really put my antenna up, and this is why I'm concerned about the Lakers. I was fine during the game and right after, but after I heard the head coach say this, this made me a little bit nervous.
He's the new guy. He's got to find his way. It's difficult to, when you're used to being, you know, the guy that has the ball most of the nights, to be able to, you know, play off of others like Bron and AD. So it's just a little bit different for him. You know, he's going to be great for us, but it's going to be an adjustment period.
This will be a road to failure if this is what the Lakers try to do. It'll be a road. Forget about it. It will be a road to failure. Russell Westbrook has been a ball-dominant point guard his entire career. He's 32 years old. And you bring him in to play off the ball, he's not a great shooter. He's a volume shooter. He's a guy that carries you nightly because he has the basketball most of the time. This is why you got him, isn't it? To be Russell Westbrook, not to suddenly change him into somebody else. Because if you were this, you could have made the trade for Buddy Hield. And hey, Buddy, you just make the shots and be the shot maker, and we're good. Did you really get Russell Westbrook to say, hey, now you're filling in, you're not going to have the ball? If he doesn't, he's going to play badly, he's going to sulk, and it will be a disaster. Disaster! Because what Russell Westbrook should be is the guy to come in, take the pressure off LeBron and AD, they can play a little less minutes, ride him during the regular season, and then the playoffs come and everybody is fresh and things work out great. You got Russell Westbrook to suddenly change his position after he's been a star at the very specific thing he does for a decade? How is that going to work exactly? I mean, really, how is that? No one trades for Tom Brady and says, Tom, I'm going to turn you into a tight end now. So good luck. You know, line up on the line here, you know, and you know, don't be nervous about turn around, catch the ball. You're going to get hit. Just do it. Nobody does this. But to say we traded for Russell Westbrook and we're going to change him and it's going to work. No, it's not. Russell Westbrook's not just a point guard who can be a very amoeba-ish player where, hey, I'm used to playing with the ball, but I can play off the ball, right? Like we saw that on the games where Kyrie Irving and James Harden are sharing the court in Brooklyn, it works out fine. James Harden is that good, right? I'm okay. I can play on the ball. I can also play off the ball. I don't need the ball all the time. I need the ball some of the time. It works. Russell Westbrook standing in the corner, like I'm watching last night, he's not just going to start taking and start knocking down threes while LeBron makes the offense go. You saw clearly last year what you did wasn't good enough, and now you brought in a player who does one thing really well and needs the basketball, and you're not going to do that. That is a recipe for disaster. That makes me nervous about the Lakers.
Biggest question I have is just his terminology and the way he approached the answer here is not as a coaching staff, we need to make sure he's comfortable. We need to make sure that we get him to the point where he's the Russell Westbrook that we've watched for a decade. All of that, he's just got to figure out his way. Like, he's a guy working, you know, into some random situation. No, this is high leverage, high stakes NBA championship or bust kind of stuff. It's incumbent upon you as the coach to have figured out, once he was acquired and his rights transferred to the Lakers, that you could integrate him as best as possible, you know, utilizing what's made him great and one of these players that year after year we marvel at what he does 48 minutes between the white lines. I don't understand how the approach. Yeah, he's got to figure it out. And LeBron was even worse with his go sit and watch a rom-com, you know, don't worry about it. Maybe he was nervous. Like, you know, I'd tell him to go kiss my tookus. You know, I'm a professional and a grown-ass man. I'm not nervous. It's like we're all trying to figure out our roles. And, yeah, he had a bad shooting night. He also didn't get much help when he did dish to the would-be quote-unquote shooters that the Lakers have assembled. And defensively, they were a disaster. Yeah, that's all his fault. How about answering on that one, Vogel? So when we look at Westbrook after one game.
How about
that,
Vogel?
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, I could see our buddy Dan Wojcicki saying it that way.
Sure.
But just the idea that you've got to integrate him in, make sure he gets his touches, and that means LeBron's going to have to give up a little bit of control, and that's one of the big question marks everybody had when this move was made. We did it on the show, certainly, and now it becomes the, all right, all for the quest of the golden ball, figuring it out. But I just didn't like the way he termed it, you know, that he's got to figure out. I was like, no, it's your problem, Frank. It's your problem as a team that you have to figure out how to best utilize him. Otherwise, he's going to be angry, sullen, and all of those things that people predicted of guys fighting through the press or not addressing the press, as Russell really didn't do a whole lot of that last night with some terse, short answers, that it becomes a season-long problem if you don't get at after it and address it now. Now, I'm not worried about things like we talked about until we get to the real start of the season, which is Christmas. I know, I joke. That's tongue-in-cheek, folks. Sarcasm for those first joining the show here on Fox Sports Radio for the first time. But for Russell Westbrook, I mean, it's a long 82-game season. Plenty of time to rectify this, but Frank Vogel did himself no favors with his terms today.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. I got more confidence the Knicks are going to make the finals than the Lakers.
Boy.
Oh, the Knicks. Look
at
it. 877-99 on Fox is the phone number, 877-996-6369. When you have your own business, you basically have to do everything. That includes hiring, which can become a second job. And that's why there's Indeed, the all-in-one hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in one place. With smart tools like Instant Match, you instantly get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description the minute you sponsor a job. Spend less time sifting through resumes and more time saying you're hired. Visit indeed.com/credit. That's indeed.com/credit. Well, coming up next, we look ahead. We tell you exactly why both league championship series are where they are and why for one team, it just got much, much harder for them to come from behind. We have that story for you next right here. Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Take off your uniform.
And we are one game away from having both teams qualify for the World Series, right? The Astros are up 3-2 over the Red Sox. The Braves have a stranglehold 3-1 series. They go for the clincher tomorrow. For the American League, it's a little bit easier to break down because, you know, like I say, you can get through a lot of different ways and get and wade into the minutia, but sometimes the simpler explanations are the best. Look, the Astros are still a really good team, and they have been a really good team. The Red Sox are not quite as good. They are an overachieving team that is kind of run up against a better team right now, and you're seeing the result there. You're seeing close games being broken open by the Astros in the fifth inning, in the sixth inning, in the ninth inning. This is kind of how I expected the LCS to go. The Red Sox are playing with house money. Another win would be a huge upset, but clearly it's going how it's going as scripted, you could say, in TV and radio vernacular, that the Astros are up with one game to go before they get back to the World Series.
Well, they are primetime players. You may hate the methodology of the past and question how they're doing it now, but the fact is these guys rake, and Jose Altuve, for whatever the history is, and you know, the big thing that people love numbers. Well, he's putting up ridiculous numbers in the postseason, right? He's going to be fighting for a Mr. October on the second or third or whatever he would get tagged on. Maybe Esquire. I don't know. Whatever it needs to be, because he's just been absurd. And the getting plenty of pitching and then some, you know, that was one of the concerns, I think, maybe coming in, because they certainly sustained a number of losses to their staff rolling in, much like we're talking, and we will in a moment, about the Dodgers. But for the Red Sox, sure, a team on the come, a lot of young talent, and still trying to figure out that next iteration. A pretty good run for them in a crowded AL East. And we'll see how they work to a reboot and what extra arms they'll add along. But for the Astros, yeah, here we go again. 5 years of excellence and another opportunity for a World Series appearance.
Meanwhile, for the Dodgers, as they try to stay alive, the pitching has really hurt them, not having Kershaw and having to go to starters in relief and bullpen games. The arms are tired. They're out of gas. Max Scherzer said his arm is dead. This is what happens. When you don't hit, it's also what happens. Clearly, how much they miss Max Muncy. Maybe he's the MVP of the NL this year because of what's going on and how much trouble they've had scoring runs. But if the Dodgers are going to do this tomorrow, they're going to do it without Justin Turner, who is done for the playoffs after getting injured earlier tonight. Dave Roberts saying that's it. It's a grade 2 injury to his hamstring, and he is not going to play the rest of the way. And this is a Dodger team that clearly was a top-heavy lineup before Justin Turner's injury. He's one of the four at the top of the lineup that's hitting the ball. This is going to be really difficult for the Dodgers to pull this off tomorrow. The Braves are playing better, and maybe in retrospect, looking back, Bellinger's home run was the last gasp of this Dodger team this year. That was the bottom of the miracle barrel, the rest of the energy they had left, because they are just looking for answers right now, and they have no spark and nothing going on hitting the ball.
Trey Turner, batting champion, but certainly quiet in this, as of so many, right? They had zero hits until that two-run fifth inning rally. Another bullpen game on tap, but go through the list. Go back to Trevor Bauer. Do they make the move to bring in Scherzer and Trey Turner if things are going as planned? Maybe, maybe not. Kershaw, Dustin May, the Cole Hamels experience, Duffy, David Price, go all the way down the line. A lot of big moves, and they have it all worked. Yet here you are in another league championship series. We'll see what they can do tomorrow.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. My buddy Ben Maller is coming up next. This is Fox Sports Radio. Look at the Knicks.